Hello, folks. Welcome back to the show. Today's the 13th of December. Right before I sat down to record this little intro, I had the privilege of interviewing a wonderful young man named Duncan, who wrote to me a little over a week ago to let me know what he was doing while he is still in school. And it's very cool, and you're going to hear about it on the show today. The title of the show is a joke. After the recorded portion that you're going to hear in the podcast, Duncan and I were talking a little bit about marketing, and he wanted some marketing tips. I said, have lists of tips and use a word like crazy, cool, or weird to describe those tips. That seems to be the thing these days. Also, in the title I said two, right? Because I didn't want to disappoint anybody. We've got more than two. Isn't that great news? And the subject is generally true. We're going to talk about some school and college survival strategies on the show today. So before we get into all that, some news. All right, today's Monday. In lieu of a live school suck show on a weekly basis, for now anyway, you can enjoy me, if you enjoy me, every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on a show called Free Talk Live. I am now one of the regular co-hosts on that program. I made my debut last week. It's going to take me a couple weeks to get the feel. I've never done the show with Mark and Ian before, so I have to practice being assertive. And if some magic moments happen, I might repost clips of the Free Talk Live episodes I'm on in this feed. Hope that's okay. You know, maybe some of you aren't listening to Free Talk Live on a regular basis anymore. Maybe you never have at all. If you never have at all, hey, maybe you should check it out. But I'm very, very excited. Free Talk Live was a huge influence for me back in the day, going all the way back to 2006. Working with Mark and Ian is very cool, and I hope you'll check us out. So if you, they're on in over 100 stations, and that's terrific, but you can always go to freetalklive.com and check out their streaming options. You can watch us on cam. It's fantastic. All I have to do is go there and sit down. The microphones are set up. The cameras are set up. The audio gets encoded and put on the internet afterwards with commercials edited out. It is such a different experience than the live show that I did for School Sucks. So saves me a ton of work every week. It's only like a 3 or 4 hour time commitment, considering that I probably want to do some prep here and there. But yeah, get involved. Wednesday nights, Free Talk Live. And I am probably going to pull that An Important Message from Brett audio file out of the feed after tomorrow. So I'm calling this the conclusion to our 6 week fundraising effort. During that time, we netted over 50 new subscribers. People are still trickling in very slowly, might be like in between 55 and 60, actually. So, hey, come check us out at the AV Club, will ya? I just posted two great additions, a pre-show and an after-show from the live show we did on January 3rd when we interviewed Jeffrey Tucker. So it's just me and Osborne. We do a bunch of nutrition talk and health talk. We ask questions about that Dave Asprey, you know, bulletproof executive. Is he for real? Is he some kind of troll who just bet one of his friends a few years ago that he could get a few million people to drink butter? Find out the answers in those shows if you're already in the AV Club. And once again, to everybody who has subscribed over the course of the last 6 weeks, your contributions have changed a lot for me, I have to say. So thank you very much. So other than that, hey, let's get started. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you enjoy this as well. And I hope you'll welcome him to our community. And, you know, maybe if you have the time, get involved on his blog. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. Today is January 13th, 2014, and I'm being joined by Duncan, who is a real-life high school student. You're currently a senior, right, Duncan?
That is correct. That is correct. Thank you so much for having me on the show, I got to say, just first off.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I was really excited to learn about what you were doing. There is a URL, whatisschoolgoodfor.com, and if you put that in, it directs you to a little blog you have called The Question Academy. And my initial assessment of it, I want you to explain what it is and where the idea came from. But when I first looked at it, it looks like it's almost a way of helping students who might be having some of the same questions or concerns that you seem to be having, get a little bit of support.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So pretty much where the idea came from is when I was in school, I had this thing where I was always asking questions, like nonstop questions. And at this point, looking back, I kind of feel bad for my teachers because it was relentless. I would come at them with these questions and nonstop. And a lot of times they wouldn't have answers for me. They just weren't available to them at the time. And I expected it of them as teachers. I was hoping they would have those questions for me because, like, when I take action on something, I like to know why I'm doing it. It's just me personally. So having all that frustration piling up constantly from not knowing the answer to why am I doing this? Why is this test this way? Like, so I'm assuming there's a reason. Like, I'm in their favor. I'm hoping there's a reason. And I'm asking, looking for an answer. When I didn't get the answer, it was just frustrating to me. So that's where this site came from. When I had a question, I had this little black book with me all the time, and I would write down my questions. And that's why I started doing a little blog. And then actually a few people found it, and I got some questions from them. And from there, I'm trying to help out as many people as I can answer some of those questions, just because I know how frustrating it is when you have them and someone can't answer them. So that's the site.
When did the black book start? How old were you?
Well, I would say, because I'm on my fifth right now. They're those little, like, note card size black books you get, like, Staples or something. So
you're on your fifth full book of questions. Is that what you mean?
That's right. I throw some other stuff in there, too, like little to-do lists for things I want to do during the day. And I talk about that on the site some.
So how old were you when you started doing this?
I was 13, I want to say.
So are you actually getting questions from other students? Has this become interactive at this point and people are writing to you with questions they want you to answer?
You know, it picked up for a little while. It dropped off some, but, you know, at once school hit and we were in for about 2 months or so, that's when I started getting some people onto the site and people asking questions. And for a little while, I was active on a few forums.
Yeah.
I can't remember the names of the forums right now. I have to check. But, yeah, when I was on there, I would mention it. And then people would go to the site and ask some questions that way, too.
So what's your assessment of school right now? I mean, you say this just started with, you know, the inquisitive nature that you would like to think all young people have. But the more questions you ask, you probably have started to get some answers for yourself. So, you know, if somebody asks you, what's school all about? Or as the URL says, what is school good for? What do you tell people today?
Well, it's a question that every person has to ask for themselves and answer for themselves. I realized it's not a question a teacher can answer for me. And that's one of the reasons why I said it was unfair that I was asking them. so like based on what I want to be, what I want to do, what's important to me, I can find value in school in different ways. It can teach you in ways it wasn't trying to if you look for it. So that's what I challenge people to do a lot of times is when you're asking what is school good for, like for me personally, I was attacking those teachers. I was asking them, tell me what is good for me. And I wasn't looking to myself. I wasn't asking myself that question, which is really what I should have been doing.
Well, if I were to say that maybe school and education aren't the same thing, how would you respond to that?
That's an interesting question. Let me see. School and education. You know, on the surface, I like to think they're about the same. But I guess I find the best education is when you don't have the structure and you go into it head first and you find something. And you learn from it. That's what I think is really important in education. School has a lot of structure, and I think that kills education personally.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because I've been recording this show about zero tolerance, and I was reflecting back on this incident that happened to me when I was your age. And, you know, I was trying to put myself into the shoes and the mindset of the, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old me, and like, what was I thinking? And, you know, no one ever really pointed that out to me that, you know, maybe school is not the sum total of your life's educational experience. And I didn't do well in school at all. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, if I can't make it here, the future does not look very bright. But, you know, almost 20 years later, I look back and I say, you know, education was really something that I did for myself, that I chose for myself, that I was motivated to do for myself. And that is pretty much the opposite of what school was. I wasn't in control of anything. I was never doing what I wanted to do. So I don't want to put you know, ideas in your head, but like that was my assessment looking back, and I think I arrived at that conclusion because I had, since graduating really from college, done so much self-education that everything that I've learned since I left any kind of formal schooling has just dwarfed what I learn or remember learning there, you know?
I agree totally. All I can do is just kind of believe you, and I believe you, like I do, but I got to take your word for it. But I know, because I'm like, when I'm not in school, or even when I'm in school, mm-hmm. At this point, thanks to the help of the internet, like I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And it's so much easier to learn. And because I figured out the way I learn is I got to find the meaning first, like what I'm trying to accomplish. And then I find the little pieces along the way that add up to that end goal. I know school, one of the problems I have with it and the problems I have with the way they teach is mm-hmm. that I feel like they give you all the little parts along the way and tell you to appreciate them. And then they give you the goal afterwards. They tell you why you did that later. Mm-hmm. Whereas I like to find that end thing. I want the thing I want. And then I find the pieces I need to get there. That way, all the whole time I'm motivated, I'm pushing for that thing, and I know it's there. I'm not just in the dark waiting for someone to tell me, oh, yeah, you'll use this 40 years from now.
yeah, exactly. Let me see if I'm hearing you right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the advantages that I think we have today as self-teachers is there's enough resources online. I mean, you can probably find a YouTube playlist that explains, you know, step by step anything that you want to become good at doing. I remember being like 13 and taking drum lessons, right? And the instructor knew what he was doing, but it was just this step-by-step process of hitting a drum pad. And I was like, no, man, I want to be wailing on the whole set, you know, with the double bass and all that. And, you know, I knew that there was an end, but I couldn't see the big picture. And what that kind of stole from me, and one of the reasons why I think I ultimately gave up on being a really kick-ass drummer was it was unmotivating to go through these seemingly meaningless, mundane, you know, routines and not being able to see the big picture and not feeling like I was in control. I mean, that happened in private music lessons, but it used to happen in school all the time because that so often asked question of what am I doing here? When am I going to use this? Applies to so much of what's going on after third or fourth grade, where we've learned most of the school skills that we're going to use in the rest of our lives: addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, fractions, reading, and writing. So, is that the idea that if you can't see the end for yourself, if you can't decide what you want and then how to pursue it, there's kind of like this demotivating piece of
definitely.
It?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When that disconnect is there, it's just it's hard to stay motivated. It really is hard to stay motivated.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the site, you introduce yourself, and then it says, I decided to redesign my high school career. Click here to read more about what I did. And I found this very interesting, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. It says, my sophomore year was the worst. I got second honors. What's second honors? What does that mean?
So I go to a private school, mm-hmm. and I have pretty much since I was in kindergarten. But second honors for us means cumulative GPA of like 85, somewhere in there. So, I mean, not like too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for my school, like you'd be surprised. Some of these parents, their kids get a 90. This is like you're in your room for a week.
With a 90, yeah, okay.
At the school. But yeah, somewhere like 85 range. Mm-hmm. Yeah, parents these days, it's the grades.
You know, yeah.
Inflation, oh, that's a whole conversation right there.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a problem that extends beyond the school environment itself. For sure. Mm-hmm. So my sophomore year was the worst. I got second honors, perfect attendance, hated my life. During my junior year, I made the decision to change things up a bit, despite what my parents and teachers said. During the year, I missed school for a full day ski trip, went on a 2-day camping trip, held Pancake Fridays before school for my entire school, drove 3 hours to Washington, D.C. 4 times over the year, ran a state registered business, built this website, learned to weld. I ran cross country and track and swam for the swim team. I got high honors and biked to breakfast every Tuesday at 5 a.m. So why this list? What were these things that you thought would bring about a change in how things were going for you during your, or I guess at the end of your sophomore year?
Sure. So I started with that black book. Mm-hmm. And when I would ask those questions, I would work backwards and I would try to find rules that would answer multiple questions at once. So if I could find a rule for myself that would solve a couple questions, like why am I doing this, or why is this taking so long, or why did I get that bad grade? Mm-hmm. If I could find a productivity rule or just like a general like way of thinking, like a rule like that, I could then apply that. So that being said, those things are a result of those rules that I established for myself. I wrote a really tiny rule book. And some of the rules appear on the site. I'd have to check and see exactly where, how to get to them real quick. But yeah, they're on there. For example, like the getting up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I figured out, I do all this stuff with my best friend. None of this would happen if it weren't for my best friend helping me out with all this. Mm-hmm. It really helps a ton to have someone there doing this stuff with you. But I figured out that I really hated at the end of the day, when I would go home, I knew I had like sports and things, I had homework, and as soon as I got up in the morning, I would have to get my butt out of bed and go to school. And nothing made it harder to get out of bed than having to go straight to school. So I decided, why not fix that? Why not try to do something before school, see if that helps a little bit? I decided switching my sleeping patterns a little bit, trying to get up at 5 in the morning so I'd have about 2.5 hours before school started. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that made a huge difference. Going to bed at night got so much easier because I knew that in the morning I had something great planned. I had something fun.
Yeah.
So I'd go to bed, get up happy from the get-go, get on my bike, ride with my friend over to a place. We eat pancakes every Monday. We knew the waiter. She was the sweetest lady ever. But we'd go there every, I guess it was like Friday or Monday morning, sometimes both, depending on how hungry we were. And yeah, just because of that, Just that one thing, when I noticed what made me mad, which was having to get up and go straight to school, mm-hmm. from that, I worked from it. I figured out, switched it up a little bit, not go straight to school. And then it ended up that every day after school, towards the end of the day, I would feel like I lived 2 days in one. When I first transitioned, because in my mind, it was always suck, and yep. then school would end and I'd be happy. But then I had happy twice. I had happy twice a day and it was so much better. So it felt like 2 days in one.
I really like that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, even as a professional, I remember having a job. I actually did this a lot of years because I was a teacher and I worked as a recruiter for a while, where you get up and you go to work. And right. I remember just having the worst habits. And when you have to be at work at 8 and you wake up at 7, you're so right. The first hour of your day is incredibly unenjoyable, even if you like your job, because you're rushing around, you're getting ready, you're commuting. What a great idea. That's a terrific idea. You're putting all this time to actually get up. And this is what I like to do now that I work for myself and do my own thing. I like a slow start. You know, I like to be able to get up, make coffee, sit down at the computer, maybe mess around a little bit, you know, not get serious and right into work right away. So that's awesome, Duncan. That's a great suggestion. Are there any other ones that you would want to go into a little bit of detail about? Because they're all interesting, and I'm really was wondering when I first read it how they work together.
Sure. Let's go with the ski trip. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. I'm doing that again this year. This is my senior year. Mm-hmm. So myself and three other friends, we decided just out of the blue that in 1 month, exactly 1 month, we would go on a ski trip, and we were going to pick a day, whatever day worked best. We were just going to skip school and go on a ski trip. Now, let me back that up a little bit. We did pick a day where there wasn't really anything going on. So we weren't like skipping tests or skipping out on like studying or like the day before our test. Not good to skip. But yeah, so we figured out the best day to go. And what that did and why that was so positive is that for 1 month, every day was a little bit better because we knew there was a light at the end of the tunnel. There was that the little thing, like no matter how much that class sucked we were in, we could sit and just escape in our heads to how awesome the ski trip was going to be. And just having that really helped. And then from the idea of having something far out and really big to look forward to, mm-hmm. I try to make it a habit that every day after school I have a plan and something I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That way, no matter where I am, it could be the most boring class in the world. It doesn't matter because I know it's going to end. And I know it's going to end because I have that awesome thing, that thing I can like grasp soon, thing that I know is going to be there to make it all better. So, yeah, I just call that the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
having
yeah.
That helps a lot.
Light at the beginning of the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel. So
there you go.
We still do have this tunnel, and I want to talk to about that in just a minute. But before we move beyond this list, I wanted to ask, it says that kind of against the advisement of parents and teachers, when you said, you know, I want to change some things up and I want to kind of do these, I don't know if we would call them life hacks or school hacks or changes that you realize could bring about some benefits for you. What was the pushback that you got from parents and teachers?
Let me say real quick, because I don't think I give my parents enough credit on here. I think I owe them more than what I give them on this site. I could do a better job of saying what they did, because all along they've helped me out, for sure. They've helped me out. And I've had those teachers who helped me out too. And you know, I'm going to make it my mission after this. I'm gonna give them some more credit when we're done on this site, because they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, who I'm addressing is those teachers who weren't so thrilled with me figuring out that I focus better. If like, here's an example of something when I had a problem with a teacher. I figure out for me, I can focus better in a class if I'm not bored to death. In hindsight, this is pretty obvious.
Right.
So you get a really, really boring teacher. And I was doing better on tests when I would sit on my computer or doodle or just do something in the class to keep me entertained and like on the edge of my seat for myself. And then I would hear something they say and like look up and contribute to the class more than I had before.
Mm-hmm.
Just because even though I wasn't excited about the class, I was just excited because I'd be planning my day or I'd be like drawing something up. I have lots of like product ideas and stuff, so I'm always working on that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But things like that. And still teachers would push back like completely, you know, the teachers who don't want anything on your desk, they don't want you doing anything because you got to be sitting there focusing. Mm. And I see where they're coming from, but they kind of owe it to us as students to be exciting. Like, I don't feel like, I hope that's not too much to ask. Cause I mean, if I got to be there for however long it is, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, if you're on a block schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just torture kids for that amount of time and expect them to want to learn or do well or want to be there.
Yeah. No, from their point of view, if they care about what they do at all, and this is just from my experience, it's offensive. But, I did this for years and I really enjoyed what I did as a teacher for about 2 years when I was teaching history at a private school in Vermont. And I just kind of walked into the classroom with the attitude that, well, I'm very fun and interesting. So what's wrong with you if you don't like this class? I never said that to anybody. But the other thing that I never did, I never asked them what the problem was or what the external contributors were to them not paying attention or them not being engaged in my class. I had made the decision that I was great. And I still think, I mean, I was a lot more confused about a lot of things than I think I am today. But I just assumed that people would be interested in what I was doing. And I think that when teachers go on longer and longer, the system is part of it. If you work at a private school like the school you go to, it might not be as bad. It might not be as bureaucratic. But I think that you also do over time start to lose that enthusiasm. And students can really feel that. I know when I was a student, I knew when teachers didn't care and weren't enthusiastic. It was very easy to see.
Mm-hmm. I like to believe that the majority of kids, I mean, they're not bad kids. It's just you take any kid and you bore them to death and they will entertain themselves at your expense.
Yeah.
if you give them the chance. I wish I had video from the perfect example, my gym class. In sophomore year, I had my coach. He'd be a little less exciting than some people. We'll just leave it like that.
Yeah.
And basically, he'd be teaching some valuable skill, but he wouldn't do it with enthusiasm. And things got destructive and exciting. Let's just put it that way. The students made it exciting, and he could have channeled that energy in a positive way, but he just didn't capitalize on that. Like, there was energy there. It's just he wanted to put it down, and it wasn't going to happen. So I think in any class, all the kids have some energy. They got something there, even on a Monday morning. You got to find it, and they'll tell you. I have a class right now. My favorite teacher I've ever had. Every day he starts by asking us, like when he lesson plan, he says, this is what we're going to learn. Mm-hmm. How do you want to learn it? How would this be most effective for you to learn it? And it's amazing how into it these kids in my class will get. And me too. I love it.
What
I love
it.
This is what I've been wanting. This is actually an independent study. Since I go to a private school, it's actually our religion class, effectively. Mm-hmm. But we'll learn about various topics. We choose what we learn. And I have a history teacher who kind of does this. I think she's picking up from him a little bit.
Yeah.
And it helps when she does it too. We'll get a project and she'll give us a list of 8 ways we can research it, we can record it, and then present it to the class, stuff like that.
You have an example of one from recently?
We were doing portray how we visualized the Senate and Congress to work.
How they were supposed to work?
How you
want them to work? Okay, yeah, sure.
Exactly. Well, actually, no. It's how we imagine them working. So that being said, there were lots of drawings of like treadmills and monkeys, but we had the option to do like a PowerPoint. You could do a video. You could do an animation. You could do doodles, characters, like little pictures. You could just talk. You could write an essay. Someone wrote an essay.
Yeah.
Like, who would choose to write an essay? But they did because they were given the option, and that person was happy because of it. But, I mean, basically, yeah. She just gave us a list, a laundry list of things we could do, and then kids got into it. You got some – like, there's some real talent in students when you give them a chance to let, like, their skills show, not just give them that thing they got to do.
Yeah, because it doesn't always show up the same way, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously – I mean, that's such an obvious thing to say, but – you know, everybody, it felt like, I mean, obviously when I was in school, there was a lot less outlets, a lot less creative outlets, just they didn't exist in the same volume that they exist today. But, you know, all these things are pretty much integrated into the schools at this point. So there's all of these new media options for people to use. I mean, I remember we did some stuff with like VHS camcorders, these big bulky like news cameras. And I'm talking about in high school, like we could make movies. We made a rap album for a creative writing class one time when I was, I think, 16 or 17. I mean, those outlets did exist here and there. And I remember those as like tremendously positive and fun experiences that happened in school, but they were few and far between. And most of what I remember was note taking, reading chapters and textbooks and answering questions, doing tests and doing papers, right? And that's pretty one dimensional as far as an opportunity for people to show their talents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like follow directions as a talent, you know? So
right. I know what you mean. Yeah.
One of the things that intrigued me as I went through your site is you're not – I mean, everybody's path will be different, and maybe, you know, some people who are in bad public school situations, they should just get out if they can. Not everybody's in that situation. And one of the things that I found encouraging is that you seem to really be committed to developing – a way to make the school experience more tolerable, not just tolerable, but actually enjoyable and meaningful, because there are a lot of people who are not going to be able to escape it. There's a lot of people out there who are not going to have other options. And even if they have certain ambitions for a career or college, they might not be in a situation where they have any flexibility to do unschooling or homeschooling or anything like that. But it shouldn't be complete suffering and misery, right? You said there's bright ends at both sides of the tunnel, but we still have to deal with the tunnel. So is there anything for you that is going on in school this year and last year that's made it different, that's made it more enjoyable than it was for you in previous years?
Sure. Yeah, I the thing that really did it for me, I know for my freshman and sophomore years, I did the same thing as everyone else. When I went to the guidance counselor to set up my schedule, mm-hmm. I would sit down, and he or she, depending on the year, would give me my list of classes and mm-hmm. effectively say, are these okay with you? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, yeah, and just kind of go with it. I would just and in hindsight, I realized how silly that was to not take it seriously. That's my whole year. I am literally looking at my entire year, what I got to do. And I'm just saying, okay, like I'll go with it. It'll be fine. And yeah, that ended up not going so well. I ended up with a workload that was too hard for what I was doing after school. I could have fixed that. I could have changed that if I had actually like wanted to take some ownership of that. And that's what I did in my junior year and my senior year. Last year, I took the recommendations of my guidance counselor. I took three sciences because I love science. Mm-hmm. They were all AP classes just because I love science that much. I dropped math. I didn't take another year of math. And I dropped so that was a
gift. You dropped what was the last one?
Like a language. It was like okay. Spanish 3, Spanish, something like that. So I ended up not taking a language and not taking a math and taking those sciences in place. From that, it ended up where I had a science like second period, like at the beginning of the day, one in the middle of the day, and one at the end. It was so perfect because I always had, no matter what class I had, whether it be English or history, like classes I don't appreciate as much, I'd have science mm-hmm. right afterwards. I'd always have my favorite class next
yeah.
during the day. So that right there made school so much better. It made history and it made English and it made the theology, religion class easier as well because I always had that next thing coming up. The tunnel was like – it was great, dark. It was just much better right there.
Yeah.
And then that actually – that year was structured in a way to fit into my bigger plan, which is I'm going to do the guaranteed admissions program. I don't know if all states have this. I know Virginia does. Where
what is it?
If you take 2 years at a community college, you're guaranteed yep. admissions into a accepting four-year university as a junior. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is mm-hmm. that available in most states?
I've heard of that before. Okay. So I would say it's definitely beyond Virginia.
Okay. Let me say to all you high schoolers out there, it is an option. It is a serious option that you should look at. Basically, there are some schools in Virginia. So let's say a school I would have got into, probably. I would have had to live on campus. And now, since I'm doing the community college and then another college close by, I'm going to be staying at home
mm-hmm.
while I'm at college. And, you know, community colleges are way cheaper than a four-year school. I'll be saving roughly $60,000 over 4 years. So from the get-go, for the rest of my life, that is money that I maybe won't have, but it's money I don't owe. But –
mm-hmm. I'm almost sold. I'm almost thinking college is a good thing again mm-hmm. because, you know, here's the thing that I've realized from doing the show and from my own experience. It was very expensive. It did not yield a lot on the other side. And I know that's the case for most people. You have college graduates, $100,000 in debt, 22, 23 years old, moving back in with their parents. And obviously there's economic factors in that. But this is one of the things that would get me fired as a college consultant if I was telling people that they should go to community college, because when parents hire college consultants, those are the people who are grounding kids at your school for getting 90s. You
yep.
know, it's that kind of competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And
colleges are businesses. Colleges are there to make money. So
the trend has been in the last 20 or 30 years that government is making more money available that seems very easy to get, you know, when you're done with high school for higher education. So when the state or the federal government subsidizes something, the signal that it sends to a private institution is that they can raise their prices. Right. Because mm-hmm. no one is going to be it's kind of the similar thing with like medical costs or health insurance. No one's really going to the doctor and price haggling. Right. Because they don't care what things cost.
Right.
It doesn't seem important at the time. So that has really driven college costs up in private and public institutions. But, you know, you are right that those are also somewhat bureaucratic institutions that have very high overhead. They have a lot of inflated salaries for small amounts of work. And it is a business. And they're certainly, you know, happy to take taxpayer money through the student loan program up front. And for a lot of people, it might not be the smartest investment of time and money if they don't have a real clear idea about what they want to do when they go to college.
And that's another thing community college can help with is that's 2 years. Say you have like an idea, like for me, business. That's something I really enjoy. I can get an associate's in business. I'll get out of there for under $10,000 with an associate's degree in business. And I can transfer in any school in Virginia, as long as I maintain a certain GPA. So I have to effectively extra added on that I can plan and figure out for myself what it is I want to do. And I'm not risking, like $40,000 a year in an actual college, 4 year school.
Right.
So
no, I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I should be on top of this stuff, but somebody told me what they were paying for yearly tuition out of state, and it blew my mind.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, and it really guarantees nothing to get a 4 year degree. I think a 4 year degree today is what a high school degree was when I graduated. So obviously, for certain career paths, college is worth pursuing, and there's really in some career paths there's no way around it. But being smart about how you do it is very, very important. And this was actually one of the things, you know, going back to those competitive parents, that I wanted to encourage people to do, like go to community college. It's cheap. Get a feel for it. Make sure that's what you want to be doing because, and this happens all the time, somebody invests between, you know, $20,000 to $60,000 to $80,000 working for 2 years on a major in business or chemistry or what's the other one? Criminal justice, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly they're 20 years old and they say, oh, that was weird. I'm not interested in that anymore. And they've kind of reached a point of no return. You know, where either they wasted all that time and money or they just have to keep going. I can't tell you how many people have said, yeah, you know, I'm not going to use this, but I'm going to finish because I already invested, you know, 3 years. What a terrible way to live. You know, it's a very difficult time in your life to make important decisions like that, too. So I think what you're talking about is really, really smart. I really like that idea.
Thank you. But oh yeah. Because I remember the reason we got on this was because of the my schedule for this year, how it all kind of ties together. So the school I go to, I'm kind of lucky in this way. It's a college prep school. And I think this is part of the reason why they really pushed for me not to go this route. But because it's a college prep school, I took more credits than I needed, which means right now I'm only going to school half a day every day. Just because now I'm going to community college, I'm not trying to sell myself to those schools. I'm not trying to get in. I'm already in Thomas Nelson. I'm already taking classes. So what I'm doing is I'm doing half a day at my high school, and I'm taking classes at the community college. I'm dual enrolled. That way I'm getting a head start on the community college and finishing my high school classes, and I'm getting credit for both at the same time.
You're getting college credit right now. That's even better.
Yep, dual enrolled. A lot of public schools have this, where you can take classes at your community college and get college credit and high school credit. They're the same classes. They're the exact same classes, but you normally have to take them twice.
Okay.
And you got to pay for it.
All right. Yeah, I have heard of this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's great. And you'll invest 2 years in community college, and then you'll have an associate's degree in business. You might have a very clear idea. You could have a business plan at that point and be ready to move forward. Or you can also, I guess, decide that you want to go to one of the nice schools in Virginia for 2 more years and get a bachelor's, right?
Yep.
Excellent.
That's the deal.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So you also run a business. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I can talk about that. So it's it is a stereotypical for the high school business. It is a lawn care company. We are doing that. So, and I know it was my friend and I, it was a freshman year. We were sitting in chemistry class, bored out of our minds. This is still freshman year. So we're sitting there bored and we pull out a piece of paper and we start writing down, cause we each had, I think like 4 or 5 yards at that point. And I was working a job teaching Taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
I would do 4 or 5 hours every day after school with football. And I was getting paid some measly little sum of money. It was, I think it was probably minimum wage. And I would work all that time, get paid a little bit. And then I realized I was getting more money by mowing those 5 yards than I was by working 4 to 5 hours, even though I really enjoyed it. It's just, there was no money in that, in my time doing that. So we figured out, if we could get, we started crunching numbers, and you know, when you start going with the numbers, it gets exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, oh, we had 100 yards. We'd be making this much money. So that's pretty much where we started, with these giant goals in mind. And we hired a few of our friends in high school. That was fun. Good learning experience. I'm going to say, if you ever want to, any of you out there who want to start a business, high school is the best time to experiment, because you can make mistakes and nothing happens. You don't have people you're trying to feed who are depending on you. You can make those mistakes. It's the best time to do it. The worst case scenario is you go home and lay in your bed your parents made for you. And like you're still doing pretty good. And you start over the next day. And I mean, we've been there. So
yeah. A friend of mine, whose work you should check out, he's got a podcast called The Voluntary Life. And he's a fairly young guy, probably in his 40s, and he's retired. He was a software entrepreneur. His name is Jake DeSillis. And we gave a speech together a couple years ago, and this was one of his most important pieces of advice. It's people who are your age who should be more than willing to experiment with these kinds of opportunities, because it's a time in your life where you can get away with it. It's a whole other learning experience, I'm sure. I'm sure you learned a lot doing that.
A ton, so much stuff. And this is where I really found value in school. This is why I wouldn't give it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause even though I'm there at school, I have so many opportunities right now, because I'm not trying to feed myself or trying to feed someone. That's a lot of pressure. Like, I can't even imagine it right now. But basically, if I make money, in my mind, that's money I need to spend to try to make more money. Because if I'm hanging on to that, it's not going to mean much later on. I'm hoping I can reinvest 100% in what I'm doing. That's why right now we have 4 full-time employees. These are actually grown men we have working for us now.
Wow.
We're going to upgrade to another truck coming up here in the spring. Again, we need a physical location next. But yeah, we have like great customers. We have great guys working for us. And we wouldn't have got there if we were afraid, or we were just keeping our heads down, or we got our GEDs. We wouldn't be doing this if we just gave up on it. So
explain what you mean by that, by if you had got your GEDs.
So I'm assuming if I got my GED, I would be working a job, trying to make some money, and my parents would have probably like sent me out into the real world.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'm making an assumption there. They may have. But and yeah, maybe I back that up. Is that a good assumption? Because I have a few friends who have GEDs, and I know they actually moved out of their house. They got small apartments, and they were working jobs like Chick-fil-A. And one of them learned to be a welder, which is cool. I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's definitely value in it. But for businesses, for people who want to start their own businesses, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think I'd have a hard time doing that if I wasn't in school and I wasn't living at home.
School is kind of a safety net. it almost seems.
It really is. That's where I see the value. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about that assumption. My brother dropped out of school when he was 16, my younger brother.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. I think he almost, he certainly didn't like school, but I think the temptation of what existed for him, he just had this real knack for like sales, and he was really passionate about the automobile business, and mm-hmm. you know, he was offered a job at a dealership when he was 16, like a full-time job, and he took it. Wow. And he was a sales manager of the biggest Toyota dealership in New Hampshire by the time he was like 20. So
that's fantastic.
He got,
that's
awesome. You know, he got a jump start, but he could see he had an exact place to go. And
he did.
My parents didn't say, if you drop out of school, you're out of here. He dropped out of school. he took this job. And then 2 weeks later, he got like an apartment with a girlfriend that he had. And he was 16. And, you know, I was 19. I was a sophomore in college. So he was in effect, older than me at the time, because he's managing all these adult responsibilities, a full-time job, answering to people. He might have had a few people answering to him. And, gosh, 19 years old in college. I don't even want to think about what I was doing. But, yeah, so that's the only thing I can really compare it to, is that he had a clear path out of school, and that's why he did it.
Right, yeah. For him, school is holding him back.
Mm, yeah.
If he was there, it would have got in the way of his goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why, yeah, I speak for myself with this, that in a way it allows me to create goals and accomplish my goals. School does.
Yeah.
So for my situation, it does. For him, that makes total sense.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. I've been saying that for a long time.
So true.
So, to wrap up here, what would you like my audience to do when it comes to the question blog? How can we help you out if people are interested?
Sure. I would say go on there and ask a question. Pose a question you think that someone else is struggling with, or you're struggling with.
Yeah.
And I will do my best to answer it. A lot of times, if I don't feel like I can give the best answer, I'll talk to people. I have a lot of people I can ask who are out of school, who are like around the country, just people I've met on forums and who've been through it, who have different jobs doing different things. And they're at points in their life where they're happy and they can look back and I believe give real answers. So that's what I'm about. I want to give some real answers, some real value. So
absolutely. That sounds fantastic. And, you know, I encourage you to check out our site too, schoolsucksproject.com. And you can make an account there and have a presence there if you want. Share whatever you post to. I'm sorry, I think I called it the question blog, the Question Academy. Feel free to share your stuff on my site and talk with any of the people who are interacting there. And I certainly wish you the best of luck, and definitely reach out to me in the future if you want to talk again. I'm interested in getting updates and hearing about your progress, Duncan.
Thank you very much. Once again, I love the opportunity. Thank you. And in the future, I might have a few things that'll help out some high schoolers. So, yeah, definitely we'll talk again.
Absolutely.